Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Wheel It podcast. I'm Lammy.
I'm Carl.
And together we decided to start our very own podcast about music. We both love music and we both listen to a number of podcasts, and we kind of realized that there's something missing in the UK podcast space for fans of music opinion and review. So with that in mind, we decided to create one for ourselves. We hope this becomes a platform for great music discussion and you can enjoy the music that we feel is shaping the culture as much as we do. So here we are recording our very first episode.
So I guess I should tell you guys kind of how we met and why we've started this. So for those of you who don't know, Lemmy and I actually went to the same uni together. We actually even studied the same course. We didn't really move in the same social circles, did we?
No, not really.
But we did kind of admire each other's music taste from a distance. I think we kind of gave each other silent cosigns and stuff and kind of briefly discussed our opinions on social media and whatnot. And I guess we thought, oh, why not put our heads together and actually come together and record something and put it down. And so I guess here we are, like you said, recording this podcast. Also, fun fact to start off the pod. For those of you who don't know, or if you do know, at the beginning of last year, I think it was, I actually started writing a bit about music. And it was actually Lammy who put me on to writing about music. She extended the hand and I grabbed hold of the hand. And it had a pretty decent response, if I must say so myself. So I guess she's kind of been instrumental in my musical output as well.
Yeah, and I have to say that it is really great to actually be in the studio together talking about music. We've been thinking about starting this podcast for a while now, and yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, man, let's get into it.
Yeah.
So this first episode is a kind of a packed one. As we know, Kanye's Good Music label decided to release an album every week throughout the month of June. I think the idea was borrowed from Good Fridays. I think just before Kanye dropped My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, he'd release tracks every Friday. I think Christian Dior Denim Flow was one of them. I Don't Like, I think, was another one. So I think he took that idea and did it with albums this time. And everyone on Good Music was going to drop on the Friday, each Friday for the month of June. And so they've given us 5 albums, I believe it is, to enjoy throughout the month of June. It's been a very packed month, to be fair. Mm. But we might as well get into the first album that was dropped, which was Pusha T's Daytona. What do you make of that, Lemmy?
I really enjoyed Daytona. I think it's Pusha T doing Pusha T. He's definitely given us the bars, the flow.
Same old drug talk.
Yeah, same old same old cocaine talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came through. He came through. What did you think? What was your favourite track?
Do you know what? My favourite track, it's probably going to be, I can't lie, I think it's going to be Santeria. I really like the sample. I actually did a bit of research about Santeria and what Santeria was, and I was quite sad to find out what it was. Mm-hmm. I think it's some sort of ritualist religion. I think it's practiced out in Haiti and then places that they do like human sacrifices and stuff. I think it's based on Yoruba culture and everything. But the sample I really liked. I think it's a Spanish speaking sample. I did actually do a Google Translate, which I've already forgotten what it said. But it sounds beautiful all the same.
All I really remember like is it. The mañana bit, which the means morning.
Yeah, yeah, the morning will come. Something, something, fire. It did sound very ritualistic, so I thought, let me just get this one out of my mind before I'm reciting any devilish things. But yeah, no, the bars on them, again, Pusha T, I think he's one of the best in the rap game with the bars. His pen is, I think, is incredible. A lot of people don't notice it because a lot of people say, okay, he's cocaine talk, but I've never known someone who could talk about the same thing over and over in different ways. And every time, each album, I'm like, yo, like, did he just say, like, I literally have to wheel it. Like, there's Pusha T is one artist, but I actually have to wheel it. Like, yo, he is rude. Did he just say what I think he said? He had no right to make that bar. What do you mean? Mm. And I think that carried on through this album, actually.
Absolutely.
From top to bottom. I feel like it opened very well. I think Kanye produced the whole album. I think he produced all of Good Music releases.
Yeah, let's talk about that first track, actually.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
Mm. Hard. So. If your album's going to be a good album, for me, it has to start with the intro. The first thing you say, the first sounds I'm hearing, that has to grip me. If it doesn't grip me, then your album isn't likely to kind of sit well with me. And so to hear that beat, I was like, yeah, okay, cool, Kanye's here.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, Kanye really did bits on this production. I feel like the sample, he's been sitting on this one for a while, I can tell. and he chopped it up so nice, and I think Pusha just delivered.
Yeah, he did his thing on it, man. I think Kanye's production style, I think it really suits Pusha.
They work really well.
Through the years, it's been a very kind of minimalistic but menacing kind of sound. Pusha T is almost like the antichrist of hip hop in his beats. Like every time, you know, every time his album drops, there's a trend in hip hop, whether it's like trap beats or whether it's like you know, your ignorant stuff, and he comes and completely does the opposite of what's the current sound. So he literally goes to all these producers and says, all right, cool, I know you're producing this and this for these people, but give me your B-sides, I want to rap on them. And they're very kind of to the left. And I like that about that. And I think Kanye's production style and the theme actually ran through all of the albums, but it was very kind of minimalistic. It gave bars kind of room to kind of show. But yeah, if you know, you know, very hard intro.
Yeah. So let's talk about Hard Piano. This has the Rick Ross feature on it. What did you think of this one?
Just from the title alone, you can kind of tell, I mean, what it is. I think he's used the word piano to kind of illustrate keys. Mm. Keys of cocaine, the white keys and everything. So I was like, yeah, this is going to be this is definitely about some more cocaine, of course.
It's funny you mentioned that, actually, because obviously the track has a very strong, nice piano on it. And I think Rick Ross was just so perfect for this feature, because we all know Rick Ross for that luxurious,
the way he floats on beats,
he really suits this track. I really enjoy listening to this. I think it's my second favorite after Santidia.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's up there. I think my second favorite probably would be, I guess, Infrared is, I mean, what kickstarted the whole beef and everything, and that is very typical Pusha T in terms of the sound of the beat and kind of what he's talking about. He's been throwing them shots for a while.
Yeah, he's so rude. He just does the disses because he can.
I say he's the antichrist of hip-hop. He just doesn't care. He will say what he wants to say, and he will say it well. Mm. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. And I think that's actually testament to the album cover. Did you hear the album cover is actually Whitney Houston's drug-filled bathroom?
Really dark, actually. I looked at it and I was like,
Yeah.
And once you know that information, it's not very nice to look at.
It's not very tasteful.
Yeah, he didn't apply tact when he did that. But
that's Pusha T. Pusha T is not about the tact. He's like, listen, this is it. I'm going to say it.
But what do you think his intentions really were behind that?
I think he's trying to tell the story, both sides of the story. Obviously, his raps are about him being a dealer. And there's always two sides to a coin. You can't be a dealer and not sell to anybody. There are people you sell to. And I think he's showing the other side of the drug talk. All right, cool. My lyrics are dealer to seller. But this album cover, this is what happens when the drugs are being sold. And we tend to forget that they're actually people that do take these drugs. So he's just kind of reminding us that, listen, there's two sides to this coin. It ain't all, you know, glitz and glam. Like, it's real.
At all, no.
It's very real.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I'm kind of cautious about saying art is not good or he shouldn't do this with his art. It's all about expression. Is it distasteful? Yeah. But do I get it? Yeah. But I also feel like if no one said it was Whitney Houston's kind of kitchen or bathroom, I don't think there would have been this much uproar.
True.
But that's kind of another thing altogether.
But to be fair, that died down fairly quickly.
Very.
Everyone was like, oh my gosh, how could he do that? But then honed in on Infrared and what he actually, like the diss and everything.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my gosh, he sent for Drake. So people kind of turned their attention. Are they showing fake concern for Whitney Houston, basically?
100%. Yeah. I think that is the case. And that's why it quickly died down and we kind of got to ingest what was Daytona and, you know. But coming back to what you actually did, asking my second favorite track, probably The Games We Play. Easy the games we play. I really like the beat. I think that's my favorite beat.
I think that's a really greasy one.
I love when he's chatting about, you know, getting a table in the club together and watch the bottle servers race each other.
It's almost like an aspirational track for that's the level I'm trying to reach.
I love it. I think on this track, if I'm not mistaken, on this track he talks about how a drug dealer turned rapper can be like Puff, but a rapper can't turn into a drug dealer kind of thing. So it's we're the real ones out here. This is what we do. This is the life we live. It's drug talk opulence, I'd call it.
Nice. What a soundbite.
Opulent drug talk. And I think Come Back Baby as well. Not my favourite beat, but probably my favourite sample. It's a very soulful sample. I think even with Kanye, he still has to have his stamp on it. Although it's very kind of hard and kind of harsh, the beats, there's still a soulful element to it, and he's carried that all the way from, I think, his first album, College Dropout. He's always maintained that soul. I think even in the off-air, or even saying in the first song, If You Know, You Know, he does this thing with a sample where he adjusts the pitch. It sounds almost chipmunky, like very high-pitched.
Really high, yeah.
He's been doing that since College Dropout as well. So, I mean, in recent times, what he's been talking about is not the old Kanye, but very much so in his beats. I feel like he's still giving us flashes of the old Kanye, and we've seen that through all the albums as well.
I think production-wise, Kanye really delivered on Daytona. I think this is the best work he's done for a while, during this month especially. But we'll come to talk about the other album. So shall we move swiftly on to Ye?
Sure. What's your opinion on Ye?
I love Ye.
Yeah.
I love Ye. I think, let me just put it out there, this is my favourite of all the releases this month in June from Good Music. My personal favourite, because it's just so introspective of how Kanye's been feeling and what he's been through.
It's almost like a therapy session.
Yeah, in the past few years, I guess, recent years.
Yeah.
We all know Kanye to be the egotistical, brash man that he is, but on this he's just really letting us in, from becoming addicted to his medication, potentially going through bipolar disorder. Let's talk about the first track, I Thought About Killing You.
Yeah, very strong title.
I can't lie, I love that haunting beat. It sets the tone. I really like Kanye's spoken word flow.
Yeah, no, the I Thought About Killing You was quite poetic in that sense. It was a bit scary though. I was a bit like, is Kanye going to tell us about how he's a bit suicidal in this whole album, or where is this kind of going?
And I think that's his, that's the intention with the track. It's like, it's really pricking your ears. It's like,
yeah, you're I just definitely waiting stood up to hear. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, okay, right.
And then of course the beat kicks in a bit later on, and he does the whole freestyle.
Love the beat.
Yeah, and it's just off the top, and he's just, it's just a stream of his thoughts.
Yeah,
I feel like he could have cut the last minute of that track. Like, it goes really heavy, the beat. Do you remember that bit?
Yeah. Actually, funny enough, I quite like that bit, to be fair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But obviously, it's real. I mean, we agreed to disagree on that. Yeah. We're not going to feel the same way on every track.
It's cool, though, because it gives a duality to the track, where it starts off menacing and then it's just...
So. I love tracks of two parts. Like, they tend to go quite well. I was definitely feeling the way he opened the album. On first listen, I was a bit nervous, and then I think once I went back to listen to it again, I actually watched a video and someone said that it sounds like he was sitting with his therapist during this this first song. He was literally like, we were his therapist and he was the person, you know, talking, and he's just talking to us. And I think it's like when he's screaming as well, like it's like you just, it's sudden outburst. It just felt very kind of raw from his literally his emotions, what he's feeling, exactly what he's feeling. And we were his therapist. I think throughout the album we assume the position of a therapist listening to a man's stream of thoughts. And it's clear as he touches on different topics, you know, his daughter, his wife and everything, his medication, his bipolar and everything. It's like he's just talking to us and saying, this is what's been on my mind, like, listen to me, please.
That's so me, though. I love listening to how people feel when
that's
they
probably why you
yeah
love
that's probably
album.
Why I love the track so much.
For me, I was like, what is going on?
One of the lines that really strike me on this song is, and I love myself way more than I love you, so...
Yeah. That kind of made it real for me, because, like, listen, if I love myself way more than I love you and I still feel like killing myself, everyone could
really
probably feel
home.
That way.
It really
like,
hits home.
You know, like, everyone will probably say they, like, loved it. It's hard to give your life for someone, so you probably do love yourself more than anyone else. And for you, upon that, to still feel like killing yourself, it means that, listen... Yeah. Anyone can feel this way.
A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, you're talking about Kim. For those of you listening, it's like a back and forth between Kanye and himself, whereby he's speaking of killing the ego to himself, or either, you know, just killing a part of himself that maybe he hasn't quite come to terms with, or he just doesn't like.
It's a conversation with himself in front of us.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yikes was, to me, not a throwaway, but it wasn't my favourite track. I wasn't really feeling Yikes too heavy. I mean, what were your thoughts on Yikes?
I really like Yikes. I think it's the strongest lyrical effort from Kanye on Ye.
I probably agree with that.
It's a real headbanger of a track. It's quite dark, actually. It's one that it's easy to ignore the message on it, but I think this is the darkest track on Ye by far. So what else didn't you quite like about it?
I think... I came into the album with a bit of bias, and hearing the first song, I was like, okay, he's not going to give me the Kanye I want to hear. So let me just, out of respect to Kanye, just listen and, you know, just take it in. So I don't feel like I received it as well as I wanted to receive it. Do you know, I'd give Kanye Yikes, to be honest, because, like I said, when I say that I wasn't really feeling Yikes, I think it was because I had a perception of what I wanted to hear, and it's not what I wanted to hear. But listening back, like you said, it is very, it's probably his best lyrical performance on this album. And he is talking about kind of, you know, we know he's got some sort of mental illness. So he has been prescribed these drugs. What kind of struck me was when he said, is he going to make it TBD? I think TBD means to be determined. So even he's a bit like, am I ever going to make it? Like, it's unsure that I'm going to make it.
It's,
you know,
dark, isn't it?
I'm going to survive what these drugs, and like, I'm not sure if I'm going to survive it. I was like, yo, like, although it's a very kind of, not upbeat, but it's a very, it's not a down-tempo song. What he's saying is very kind of dark. And I think that can, the message of that can be lost in it, to be honest. But yeah, you know, do you know what? Yikes is not a bad song, don't get me wrong. But it's probably just not one of my favourite Kanye songs in terms of production. Saying that though, I do like the hook. Chicka gear, menacing. I quite like that.
Yikes is probably your throwaway track. I felt that way for All Mine.
Yeah, forgettable.
It's Kanye being ignorant Kanye, and I don't fault him for that. You know, that's the Kanye we know and love, but it's the track that I twerk to rather than, like, take seriously.
You ain't trying to listen to what he has to say. Yeah. I feel you on that one. It's not one of my standout tracks, I would say. It's definitely one I'm like, all right, cool, like, let it play through. Because I don't like really listening to albums in its entirety and then skipping tracks. So I kind of have to listen to things just to get what they are trying to put across. So it's one of them ones where I just sit and listen to in anticipation of the next track, which is probably my actual favourite track on the album, which is Wouldn't Leave. Spiritual, like,
it's beautiful, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh man, beautiful, like, track. The vocals on it are, I think that's what steals the show for me, the vocals. I think we actually did our Googles. I think most of us, and including you guys listening, will probably think it was a Young Thug that was singing on it, but we actually,
I definitely thought it was,
we
Young
recently
Thug.
Found out it wasn't Young Thug. In fact he's not even on the track. The people that are on the track, I think it was Jeremiah, Party Next Door, and I think it was just Ty Dolla $ign. It's clear who Ty Dolla $ign is on the track, but the part where we thought was Young Thug, I'm still not sure out of Jeremiah and Party Next Door who that would have been. But regardless, I still love the track. I like the message as well, and it kind of made me feel a bit of a softer spot for Kim. A lot of people bash Kim and say Kim's the reason why Kanye is off the rails and this, that, and the other.
In the sunken place.
Yeah. But it seems like it's Kanye that's actually kind of messing up Kim's life right now, you know? Like, it seems like she's the one having to tolerate a lot of his BS, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
And Kanye even sings on this. We've heard Kanye sing before, but this is one of the only tracks on Ye that he actually tries to sing on.
Yeah.
And I just think that speaks to how deeply he feels about Kim, and I think it's
quite, I genuinely
beautiful.
Think he likes loves the woman. Let's,
of course,
not say, like,
yeah,
they've been married for a few years, got kids. I feel like he does love the woman, that's for sure, and I feel like she does get a bit of stick, rightly or wrongly, so it's not for me to determine, but that doesn't take away from the song and his subject matter. I think this is another deeply personal song from him, and it was just perfectly married with the vocals. I feel it was just spiritual, like, it was like, yes, Kanye, this is what, listen, hearing I Thought About Killing Myself, then hearing Yikes, and then hearing All Mine, I was like, oh, here we go. Then I heard that, I said, yeah, all right, Kanye, talk to me. It kind of made me sit up, like, yeah, this is what I'm looking for.
And I'm someone that loves songs like by rappers or just singers that talk about the women they love or just a woman. It's like my thing. But there is one line on this track that makes me cringe a bit. It's like towards the end where it's like, for every down female. It's like, first of all, female. But I'll forget that. But it's a beautiful track. Yeah. And the vocals just dance all over the track so beautifully.
Yeah.
I actually thought The Dream was on there.
I think he's featured heavily on it. I think he is in there somewhere. I feel like those who are credited aren't necessarily necessarily everybody that's actually on the track. I feel like The Dream is definitely on there somewhere. You can't kind of mistake his falsetto tune. But yeah, I think the song speaks. Anyone who has a wife who is kind of like not messed up, or who, you know, has put their wife in compromising positions, I think you're speaking about when he said, you know, you know, his whole rant about slavery as a choice and everything, I think his wife was a bit like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is going to cost us money.
I said slavery is a choice. They said, how,
yeah. Yeah, how, yeah. You know, we really did say how, yeah. You're yet to explain how, yeah. But, yeah, no, I think any guy with a wife or even a girlfriend or a significant other, it doesn't have to be a man-to-woman thing. Anyone with a significant other can relate to this track if they've upset them or put themselves in compromising positions. And I think that relatability is why I like the track. I like tracks where it invokes a human emotion, a real emotion.
Mm. Unfortunately, I can't relate to this particular track.
Fair enough. Okay. It's a good thing that you can't mean that you haven't put someone in a compromising position or you haven't been put in one yourself. Or you just don't relate to it.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
I like the next song. The next song gave me Graduation vibes. No Mistakes. Make no mistake.
Yeah, it's really like the production in this is really emphatic. It's like,
and then Charlie Wilson as well took me right back. He's been using Charlie Wilson for ages.
This is late registration Kanye right here, I think. And
registration, not graduation. My bad. Graduation was all stronger in that lot, wasn't it? Like, it was when he started getting experimental. Late registration, yeah.
This is old Kanye right here. It's so short. What do you think of like how quick this song is?
It was short, but at the end of it, I didn't think I needed more. I was like, I like this. Mm. Like, I think it just, the happiness and the nostalgia carried me through the song where I was like, oh, this is, I like this. I enjoyed this song.
It's so good to hear Charlie Wilson again with his
ooh-wee. Trademark. I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, No Mistakes is probably the second favorite. Or I love the run from Wouldn't Leave to No Mistakes. Mm. And then Ghost Town, it kind of went back downhill again for me.
Really? I like Ghost. Well, I understand what you mean. It starts off a bit shaky, I think, Ghost Town. But as soon as Cuddy comes in, I think it's so heartfelt from Cuddy, this feature. It's a cute song. And 070 Shake.
That's it. Yeah.
Really unique voice. Really unique voice.
She's featured elsewhere on other projects as well. It's not just that track.
Really?
Definitely her voice. She's got a distinctive voice.
Very distinctive. But I think she really makes this track. She made it hers, and
I think she did stand out on. I think since the album's come out, she has had a lot more coverage on her. Like, I've seen her pictures on Twitter and stuff, and but I don't know
what she looks like.
She's like a, forgive me if I'm wrong. She's like a white version of G-Eazy in that she's got short black hair, pale, skinny, tattoos kind of thing.
Hmm.
I think in the picture I saw of her, she was wearing all black. But yeah, she kind of looks like that. Yeah, so back to Ye. Violent Crimes, what do you think of the track?
Yeah, like you mentioned, some very off comments from Kanye about his daughter. I get that he was trying to let us know that he's a lot more appreciative of women now, thanks to having his own daughter. But it's very... I mean, people commented on this a lot on Twitter, and they said... At Kanye's big age, he's only just realizing that he should see women as something to nurture and not conquer. Why is it that he's only just realizing this after having had Northwest?
That's the common narrative. A lot of guys are like, oh, you know, when I have my daughter, I start respecting women. Or they say, oh, I don't want a daughter because how women are. Like, it makes them realize the kind of treatment of women. At your big age, that's so funny. He's nearly 40, if not over 40. But hey, we can't fault him for coming to that realization late, because he still came to it at the end of the day. It's a shame that him having a daughter is what caused it. And I do feel like he spoke about his daughter in some weird ways, in terms of, I think there was a few bars in there about how when you leave the house, I'd probably have to listen to the track again. But it was like, you know, when it was mildly sexualizing his daughter in the lyrics, I'm not sure.
Curves under your dress?
Yeah, I was like, why are you talking about your daughter's curve? Like,
I know there's
what?
Curves all on the net. Yeah, that bar.
Yeah.
And there was something about, don't do yoga, don't do Pilates, just stick to karate and...
You know,
like,
it was like, what are we doing here, y'all, Kanye? Are you sexualizing your, how old is she, 5-year-old daughter?
Yeah, like, it's...
That kind of, the message, what you were trying to say was kind of lost on me when I was hearing those bars. I was like, this is kind of creepy. I can't lie. But it was nice, it was heartfelt. It was the first time I think he'd actually...
It's a pretty sounding song.
Yes.
I think it was rude how he just chucked the Nicki Minaj voicemail on the end.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Throwaway, yeah. It was so unnecessary. Yeah. I mean, it works very well with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the opening of Dark Fantasy. I feel like that was amazing. But on this one, I was like, what's the why? I don't get why. I don't get the effect. It just didn't end the album very well for me personally. But that kind of sums up the album for me. Like, it had, I guess it had moments of brilliance with No Mistakes and Wouldn't Leave. But the whole thing was a bit like, okay, yeah, I get the whole vibe. It was therapeutic. It was kind of a conversation, but it still felt a bit kind of, here, have this.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I would agree. It's quite haphazard.
Yeah,
but I think that's Kanye.
That's Kanye.
That's true to Kanye.
It hasn't always been Kanye, though. Kanye, you know, he's...
Right now, it's Kanye, yeah. I agree. Kanye was a lot more well put together back in the day.
Yeah.
But we can reminisce about the old Kanye another
to the
time.
Man. But yeah, I guess we'll move on to still Kanye, but also Kanye and Kid Cudi. Kid See Ghosts. How do you feel? I know you're a fan of this one.
Yes, I love... Do you know what? At first, I didn't. And I'll tell you why. Because when it was first released, they actually uploaded the track listing wrong. Mm. So when I first listened, it wasn't in the right order. And I was like, I'm not feeling this whatsoever. Mm. And then Kid Cudi tweeted that the correct track listing has been uploaded. I listened through again and... I loved it, to be honest. It's more on the experimental side, which I personally really like. Mm. It really takes me back to the Yeezus Kanye that I really love.
You're a fan of Yeezus?
Absolutely. Not many people are, but... Yeah.
It's a niche album.
Yeah.
You like it or you don't.
Yeah. I was a very angsty person when Yeezus was released in 2013.
Perfect and for you then.
Yeah. It was like, yes, this is my energy. This is my energy right here. But I think artistically, this is the furthest Kanye has gone on the projects from this month. I think Feel the Love, the opening track, is a testament to that. What
funny,
did you think?
Right? When I heard... So I usually listen to albums on like a commute or when I have time to be still. Mm. And so I threw on Kid See Ghost. And on the first listen, I heard Feel the Love. And as soon as I heard... I said, nah, turn it off. I said, this one ain't going to be for me. Like, literally, before the song ended, I said, nah, I'm all right, thank you. Mm. On to the next one. And I'm a fan of Cudi and Kanye, so I was quite excited. But when I started hearing all that shouting and that, I thought... Mm.
It's a mess, but I love it.
Yeah. And then I guess I left it maybe a week or so, and I went back to listen to it in its entirety. And I quite like it. I like the... It's experimental, but it works. I feel like this probably, alongside Daytona, it's probably his best production because it's kind of...
It's funny you mentioned Daytona. Pusha T actually features on this.
The first track, right?
What did you think of that? I thought his verse actually gave that song structure because, like I said, it is a bit of a mess of a track.
Kanye
but
and,
when Pusha comes in and he just gives that solid verse.
Yeah, because the instrumental goes a bit stiller when he's on.
He's on
so it kind of it hones in. The focus is refined, and I'm not that I'm not experimental, but I like a bit of refinement in music, and I like it to kind of be focused. I don't need a lot of stuff going on unless it's cohesive. Mm. And so, yeah, I actually liked it after kind of taking a pause and saying, okay, this is the album I'm going to be listening to, because sometimes I have to prep myself or be in a mood for a certain type of music. Mm. And if I'm not prepped or not ready, I'm not going to receive it well. So I kind of heard that, da-da-da-da, and I said, all right, cool. When I come back to this, I'm in a mood to hear, da-da-da-da. So I think I was driving on the motorway, driving fast and everything. Cool, I can do that. And coming back to it, I actually quite liked it. I actually liked the whole kind of sound effects, the loudness of it. I like the drums. Again, I liked Pusha T's verse, same old of what we get with Pusha T, as always. But it was good to hear him on that kind of beat as well.
I think if Pusha T's verse wasn't so tightly knit and like honed in, I probably wouldn't have liked
chaos.
This track.
Yeah,
too much
chaos. Not as an intro track as well. Mm. You don't want chaos on your intro. But yeah, no. So moving on to the next tracks. What other tracks were you feeling?
The second track is Fire. I thought this was nice and grungy. Imagine, but it was a bit of...
But it wasn't Fire.
Yeah, it was very forgettable. Very forgettable.
Yeah.
And
it was short, wasn't it? If I can remember.
Yeah, it was just nothing significant.
Yeah.
You know? Throwaway track, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess on a seven album track, you don't really have time for throwaways. Yeah,
absolutely.
It was 2 minutes long. Not very long at all.
Fourth Dimension, third track. Solid production from Kanye. I think this is... It sounds good, but neither him or Cudi really deliver anything lyrically on this.
Yeah.
I can't remember half of what they say, and I think
they're not
that's
really
just
talking about anything
exactly,
except for the last track, which we'll get to.
But that sound, that experimental sound, is there, yeah. And I felt like
it pushes the culture forward.
Yeah, it marries well, but again, it's another forgettable track, I think.
Yeah, I feel so too. With the experimentation, I do realize Kanye probably has the most influence over music. I would not be surprised if, you know, going forward, there'll be 7-track albums, and there'll also be sounds that we're hearing from at least one of these 5 albums. There are going to be sounds that now become prevalent in the music industry.
Absolutely.
He has a knack for doing that. You know, everyone, we first hear it, we're like, what is he doing? This doesn't sound right. And then within a year, everybody sounds like that.
We're going to hear a lot more
albums
that are shorter in length, not necessarily 7 tracks, but I feel like people are definitely going to stop with the whole 17-track movement.
That needs to die.
Yeah.
I think optimal is 10 to 12, maybe 13 if it's a bonus track, kind of. What's his name? Mr. Brown. With his how many song album? 40-something.
Oh. Yeah.
Listen, the whole of Good Music's 5 albums can fit inside that one album. That was absolutely ridiculous. I don't think that's going to catch on.
No.
But I definitely do feel like the 7-track nature and the sounds that we're hearing on Kids See Ghosts will come forward. But yeah, how do you feel about the next track, then, the 4th track?
3.
Part 2 of Ghost Town. You like part 1. Did you like part 2?
This is a rager of a track. I think it's the best one on Kids See Ghosts.
Yeah.
It's so rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I like a bit of that, you know.
Yeah, a bit of grunge.
Yeah. Ty Dolla $ign's feature on this is... it goes hard. Like,
love
he
that.
Sounds so rock and roll. And it the way, like, they go back and forth... and then there's just Ty Dolla $ign in the background. Oh, it's delicious.
It goes well. It's like it's a nice sandwich.
I think
we were saying off air that Ty, I think he's probably the most prevalent artist across all of the 5.
Yeah, so
albums.
He's been featured on every single one from Good Music this month.
And that's testament to, I think, Ty's musicality. I think
He's very fluid.
I mean, you can put him on anything. And I think it's because he's an instrumentalist as well. I've had a lot of musicians talk about him and say what he does in the studio is crazy. He can play bass, he can play regular guitar, he can play piano, he can do everything. And that's why he sits well on all of Kanye's projects. I don't think there's a feature of his that's actually out of place or unnecessary on any of them. If anything, he actually makes the tracks better.
Yes, I'd agree.
But yeah, I definitely agree with you. I like part 2 of Ghost Town. not so much part 1.
Next track, Reborn. This is a beautiful one. It's very intimate from Cudi, his vocals on here.
I love Cudi's vocals on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. With both of them. With, I guess, Kanye and Cudi both having a quote-unquote gentle mentor, as Kanye put it on Wouldn't Leave. And then they also are both, in their sounds, very unorthodox. Even Cudi on his own, his albums aren't really... I heard a bit of Passion, Pain and Demon Slaying. It wasn't hip-hop. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. It wasn't hip-hop at all. And so I feel like on this album, and particularly on Reborn, I feel like that comes through their emotional side, their sensitivity. Like you said, I love Cudi's hook on it. I love his singing. And also, I think Kanye opens up a bit more about his opioid addiction on it. And it's just a very sensitive song.
Yeah, it's deeply personal from both of them.
Yeah.
And I think that lends to the content of the lyrics as well. I think this is the best lyrically from both of them.
Yeah, together.
On Kids See Ghosts, yeah. So.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that one.
And that symphony of hums from Cudi is just so lovely.
That's Cudi. Cudi and the humming.
Yeah.
That's what he's known for. Cudi and his, his melodic humming.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right then, so next track, Kids See Ghosts.
Yeah, this is an eerie little track, this one.
I like the beat though.
Yeah.
I like the beat.
It's so different. I can't really say much about it because lyrically, like, they take a bit of a backseat on this one, I think.
Yeah, they do. I think that comes with the introduction of, I don't know what to call him, whether Yasiin Bey or Mos Def. I'm probably going to stick with Mos Def. That's what I know him as.
That's who we know.
Yeah, I don't know about this Yasiin Bey brother. But I think it comes with his introduction. He too wasn't necessarily, it wasn't the most necessarily lyrical performance. And I don't think the song was meant to be lyrical. But I do like what Yasiin Bey did with the track. It was probably the most unexpected feature across all 5 Definitely. I know Yacine and Kanye do work together quite closely, but it's often backing vocals or kind of things here and there in the background. But to hear a somewhat verse from him, and you know, to hear him string a load of words together, I think was quite dope for me personally.
Yeah, I think this is one of those tracks that's just a mood.
Yeah, where... it's the title track of the album. So
yeah. And Kanye just put it in there. It's like, yeah, feel this.
Yeah, I feel you.
Cardi Montage.
I like it.
It's beautiful.
My favorite song.
This is like, I fell asleep listening to this song, and it was just transcendental. Yeah. Like, it's the way the layers of this track build is just Kanye really. I'm sure he didn't produce this alone. This must have been him, like a joint effort from him and Cuddy on the production. But I just think it's so gorgeous, and like it's a bit unsettling, like that grunginess.
Yeah.
But then Cuddy's ad libs and then Kanye singing, like it just all marries so well together.
Yeah. Even Kanye's bar, I know you said that his best lyrical performance was on an earlier track, but for me personally, what I like from Kanye, I feel like in his music recently, it's been all about self and all about me. And I feel like on this track, it was less of him and more of what he sees kind of going on around him. And the topics that he was speaking about, it was very real. Like what you're saying, how can you tell a mother to kind of forgive when the child has been killed? And like, you know, how do you tell a man not to ride out when his friend has been killed? Like, I just didn't expect to hear that from
Kanye. We don't hear that from Kanye.
And it's surprising because he's from Chicago, where there is a lot of death. And, you know, he does seem to be out of touch. I think there was a scandal with Rhymefest, someone he used to make music with, who heads up his program, his Donda West program in Chicago. And he took to Twitter to kind of complain that, you know, Kanye is not really helping out, they're not really, you know, doing a good job at supporting them and everything. So it was a bit sad hearing Kanye, you know, in the past talk about, you know, these certain things where you could tell he had a passion for and an interest in, and he wanted to make a change. And to kind of hear him kind of wander away from that for a few years, and then on this track kind of still let us know, listen, I am still in touch. Like, I do know how people feel. Like, I just don't live in the hills in Calabasas and design clothes that look like they've been chewed by mice. Like, I know what's going on ground level. And that was comforting. It was more of a comforting track to me. I guess with you kind of fell asleep with it. It was kind of the way the layers of the track built up. But it was also comforting to me in terms of, you know, what he was saying. And kind of, it just let me know that Kanye is still Kanye on the inside. And I like that because it was at the end of an experimental album where it wasn't necessarily a political thing, or he wasn't really trying to make statements, quote unquote. He was just trying to create. And so at the end of him creating, he still kind of let me know that upon all of this experimentation and this creation, I still have a bit of me. Like, he shows glimpses of him here and there.
Absolutely.
And I like that. As long as he can do that, I won't really complain too much.
And
it was a nice way to end the album as well, I feel.
Yeah, definitely. Hence probably why I fell asleep to it the first listen.
Yeah.
When the track list was like
mashed.
Yeah, changed up to the proper one. But I think this is the song that I gravitate to listen to first when I'm like on shuffle and stuff.
Yeah, it's for just, sure.
It sounds that good. Yeah, so that's Kids See Ghosts. And moving on, we're going to give an honourable mention to Nazir.
Nas' album called Nazir, which is his full name, as we all know. I think the title being Nazir clearly meant that he's going to give you him and his thoughts and what's internal to him. So with that being said, how do you feel the album went?
I think this album was aptly named, actually, because Nas was giving us Nas. He was given 7 tracks like everyone else, and he spoke true to what we know him for and how he's come to this legendary status and the wealth that he has. Like, he speaks on that on a couple of the tracks. I think, unfortunately, Nas could have done with a few more tracks. He deserved better. And I think 7 tracks was too little for him. He didn't quite get out what he wanted to get out in terms of the message that I feel like he was trying to put on Nazir. For me, that message was a somewhat political statement. Because of the shortness of this project, I feel like it did not carry through.
Yeah, I definitely, at the end of it, me kind of obviously having a trained ear in music, at the end of kind of albums or at the end of projects, I kind of like know what they're trying to
say. If not on the first few listens, then eventually I will kind of grasp it. And because of that, I did grasp what Nas was trying to say, but I was like, all right, well, I know what he's trying to say, but well, someone who just kind of flings it on for the first time at the end of the last track, would they be like, oh, yeah, well, this is exactly what you're trying to, this is the message you're trying to get across. And I don't feel like that is what would have happened. I mean, some messages were quite apparent in the first few tracks. I mean, Cop Shot the Kid, very obvious. Mm. Even the first track when he was kind of reeling off facts like, oh, this is not what happened, this is what happened, like kind of Black History. It was quite obvious in those tracks. But in the other tracks, somewhat filler tracks, it didn't kind of, it didn't carry across for me.
Yeah, I feel like that's, it wasn't cohesive. And I think, like, in between the messages of Black Lives Matter and everything else that's going on, Nas is trying to talk a bit about himself and his life, but that doesn't lend quite well to the cohesiveness of Nasir. And I felt like it finished really abruptly as well with that last track.
That was, do you know what? I feel like that was a running theme with all of the good music tracks. Every single track ended abruptly. There was no fade out. He actually said it in an album we'll get to, in Teyana Taylor's. He said no fade outs and the song just cut. And then when I heard that, I was like, wait, hang on, let me go back and listen to all the other tracks. And then with every single track, it just cut. But at the end of an album, you don't really want to do that.
Yeah, and I think, I didn't actually notice that, but on Nasir in particular, it jarred me. But on the other projects, I didn't notice it because I feel like it was intentional and it was a good effect.
Yeah,
but exactly. On Nasir, it was like, huh, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely feel you. And I feel like the main issue I had with Nasir and Nas's album was that Nas, we know him to be very poetic. His flows, like his dexterity and how he kind of maneuvers a track is really good. Us Nas fans will know he has a history of not always picking the best beats to kind of display his capabilities. I think since maybe Illmatic and It Was Written, I think that those two albums really did allow him to display his kind of lyricism. But all the albums, apart from that, there were a few tracks where this beat is crap, to say the least. This is Nas, you can do better than this. It's like, is it your ear or is it your exec producer's ear? Like, I don't know what it is. So coming into the album, I thought, all right, cool, Nas and Kanye. Kanye knows how to produce, Nas knows how to rap, So this should work well together. And I think they released a 1 minute clip of Nas floating on one of the tracks. And I was like, yo, this sounds heavy. This is, I'm excited now. And then to hear the album, I was like, the production doesn't go well with Nas's style. It goes well, for example, with someone like Pusha T, because he thrives off kind of minimalistic, kind of like his delivery is very harsh. But with Nas's delivery, it's very kind of, there's no seams. It's very seamless. Like, you don't know when he's like moving on to the next topic until you're halfway into the topic. But with Pusha, it's kind of like duh, duh, duh. Like, you know when he's like, it's very beginning and end. With Nas, it flows, his flow.
Yeah.
And the nature of the beats didn't allow for that kind of, and so it did sound a bit, not clumsy at times. I hate to label someone like Nas as clumsy, because he's far from it, but the beats didn't lend themselves to his style, per se.
The way Nas spits is very true to himself in terms of where he's from, the 90s era, and I feel like that's so in his DNA that the beats that we're hearing today are a lot more intricate, complex beats. Yeah. Nas can't quite keep up with it.
He's in a time capsule. Yeah.
But that's great. We know, you know, we appreciate Nas for the legend that he is, and I think maybe he should just leave it at that, maybe.
Yeah, sad to say,
as sad as that is,
I don't think
say.
I'll be excited for the next Nas thing. I mean, it comes a time where you're in the December months of your career and you just have to accept it. Every career has a beginning and an end. And I think this might be the twilight of Nas. I didn't want him to go out like this. Maybe he could put out another album. Do you know who he works really well with? Salaam Remy.
Yes.
He works amazingly. If it was a Salaam Remy produced album, different conversation.
I think that should be something we look out for in the future.
Yeah.
I definitely see that happening.
Something like that. We can dig that with Nas, you know, a very musical kind of, but still allows him to do his thing on it. We can have that. But the experimental, the new age stuff, I don't really want to hear
Nas
spitting on, to be honest. It doesn't sound great, which is a shame. And also the fact that he isn't part of good music. So this didn't need to happen.
It didn't.
And I feel like Nas had it, even with Pusha, actually, he said it. Nas's album, I think it actually was done before Kanye came and said, no, I'm redoing the beats. I think Kanye should have left Nas alone with his album, because I think at the end, when Khaled released his Major Key album, I think that dropped in 2016, one of the songs was called Nas Album Done, and it featured Nas, and so he was rapping about obviously his album being finished and everything. That was way back then, and obviously it being, you know, 2 years later and it's only just coming out means that what was done then was scrapped.
Not the same,
and then Kanye came and redid everything, and I don't think it worked as well as it could have done on paper, unfortunately. But yeah, I guess with that being said, thanks Nas, but
no thanks.
Yeah.
Moving on to the last release from Good Music, Teyana Taylor, first woman of Good Music, and she dropped
KTSE,
which stands for Keep That Same Energy.
It's actually,
yeah,
fair play.
You didn't know that.
Energy. I love the phrase keep that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
With that being said, I don't know why she called it keep that same energy.
To you who's listening, keep that same energy or get the hell out.
Fair. For some songs, okay, I get why she titled it that, but in the whole of the album, I don't get why she's called it keep the same energy. I feel like she's probably felt going into this album her back was up against the wall and kind of like she had to prove people wrong. That's only what that title means to me. When you say keep that same energy, you're probably talking about your haters. Like when this drops, you better keep the same hate and energy. You better keep it because I know I'm about to drop some fire kind of thing.
You know, I took it as, because she was very low key, like not many people knew of Teyana Taylor until the moment Kanye released that Fade music video.
Yeah,
and everyone
was
like, oh my gosh, Teyana Taylor.
Well, some of us knew her from before, but that was what propelled her.
Yeah, into literally limelight, where she's now doing fashion shows. She's walking runways and, you know, a lot of people are new to Teyana Taylor, and so that energy that was surrounding her, I feel like she's saying keep that same energy because I'm coming with some music.
Yeah,
you know.
Fair. So that sounds a bit beggish, man. Please don't forget about me. I'm gonna drop music. I know I'm known for, I'm meant to be known for music, but
I took it that way because I watched her show Teyana and Iman, which it's just reality TV, you know.
Corny, man. I can't deal.
I did watch it, and I did get that, you know, feel like she was like, oh my gosh, people know me now, so I need to deliver, you know. So that's definitely what I took from it. But anyway,
do you feel like she delivered? We'll get into that.
I feel like this was a disappointing listen.
There's gonna be people that want to fight you. Like a lot of people did actually like this. The kind of reception of this was generally quite positive.
Really?
But why did she disappoint you? Let's start with that.
Okay, so Teyana Taylor is an R&B artist. She has the vocals. She can sing.
That surprised me, because I was told that she can't sing.
She can. She has even her speaking voice is just nice to listen
to. It's raspy. It's nice. And she's got a nice tone.
Yeah. And on this, I feel like her singing, like her true R&B voice, it just did not match up to Kanye's production.
At all.
I feel like Kanye did her dirty, because he didn't... A lot, like you mentioned before, a lot of the artists that he works with match to his level, but I feel like Kanye didn't bother to bring it back a bit for her.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that she's not up to the challenge, but it's just a different style, you know?
Yeah.
She's a vocalist. She's
exactly.
She doesn't rap. She can't sing on a beat the way Kanye is probably expecting her to.
Yeah, she can't do that whole kind of Drake, kind of Chris Brown, where they're singing but they're flowing kind of.
Yeah.
That's not her lane.
Yeah.
She needs to sing kind of thing. And I feel the same as well. She proved me wrong. She can actually sing, which is fair play. What I've heard a lot of people say is that the album was a vibe, and I feel like it's a vibe because it's produced by one person. So it's easier for one person who's producing the whole album to kind of I'm pretty sure Kanye probably sequenced it as well. So it's easy for him to kind of know the sounds he's going with and sequence it to make it sound like a vibe. But we shouldn't get kind of lost in the fact that it flows well and kind of think it's great because of that. Yeah, it flows well, but the beats, like you said, it doesn't match up with kind of what she should be outputting. I think she's an R&B artist first and foremost. It should sound very R&B-ish. And I actually thought, because I heard whisperings that it's going to be a very R&B-ish album. And I guess the stuff she's talking about and the way she's singing is very R&B-ish. But there was compromise. I feel like it's Teyana that compromised. I feel like Kanye could have compromised a bit more, but it's not really his fault. I don't think he's ever self-produced from top to bottom an R&B album. I'm not sure he's kind of got it. He's got the melodies in him, but the actual R&B, as in like this is an R&B song.
Which is odd, because we know Kanye to, you know, he chops up the soul real nice.
Very.
So I really did expect him to be able to deliver some nice R&B content for this, but it just, I guess the headspace that Kanye is in, he just
Yeah, it's I mean, it's hard to ask a currently experimental and also bipolar, I guess, producer to produce something very smooth and sweet and kind of very kind of, you know, when you hear R&B songs, sometimes it makes you ooze, like you're like, oh, like, I'm feeling this. It's hard for him in that headspace to produce something like that.
Yeah.
Also knowing that he's produced, you know, 30 plus other tracks for other people who have different sounds. I think it caught up with Nas and Teyana. I feel like with Kanye, he can only spread himself so thinly before the quality starts to wear off. And I feel like the two of them kind of bore the brunt of that. With Pusha, it worked well for him. It's his style. It worked well. Pusha and Kanye worked together in the past on multiple occasions. With his own album, it's his own. He can do what he wants with his own album, and that's why it worked. With the Kids See Ghost, they were both, like we said, they're both, you know, in an emotional state. They're both kind of experimental, and they're both kind of other than at the moment. So that worked. But then with Nas now, compromise. With Teyana now, compromise. I felt like he couldn't make that jump and kind of say, I'm working with a different artist with a different sound. He's like, this is what I'm going to produce. You lot have to get on this.
Yeah.
kind of thing. And you have to make it work because this is what I'm producing. Which is unfortunate because I feel like Teyana had a lot to prove. With obviously, I think her last album was, I think, 2014, 4 years ago.
Yeah, long time.
Again, done dirty. You can't be away for 4 years and drop 7 songs and call it an album and we're meant to just take that. I guess hers was 8. And I think the 8th song should not have been on there. Trash. Absolute trash. Let's even talk about that. Work This P. I'll call it that. What do you think of Work This P?
It was cringy as hell. It Incredibly. Was. I get that it was supposed to be like a voguing song for the gays. I was like, yes, but no. It
yes,
was.
Honey.
But no. especially the transition from that. The previous song never would have made it, which was
such a beautiful,
such,
we'll
it was so
to
pretty
anyway.
It was like really cute about Junie, her lovely little baby, and then it just transitions to this awful song and it doesn't even make sense.
It's an incredible throwaway, and the fact that it's 8 and everyone's albums were 7 songs and this was the 8th one, it's like this really didn't need to be on there. And I feel like Teyana probably fought for it to be on there.
If it's the 8th track, it's a bonus track, and if it's a bonus track, it needs to come hard.
Exactly.
It needs to be a bonus.
It has to prove why it's on there as a bonus. And I don't think it did that. I think that the whole Work This P, the whole kind of loop of that, it really jarred my ears.
Yeah, irritating.
And then I feel like with the whole Vogue thing, I think it has a space within rap, but I don't think Teyana, I think she just got a bit gassed. I think she walked the runway for, who'd you say it was for?
Philip Line. Another designer, but I don't remember.
She did. I know she did too. I think that kind of got to her a bit. She kind of probably thought, I've arrived in this world. But I do feel like that lane is solely and probably for the better off occupied by Azealia Banks. She does do the kind of whole Vogue and that kind of sound, the whole house kind of sound very well. I think her latest song's called Anna Winter as well. And that kind of shows the headspace she's in. And she actually does that very well because she's rapping on it for one, and she can spit. And her music, what makes her good, so good, is the pockets that she's able to find. And I feel like if you're going to rap over a Vogue kind of thing or do music over a Vogue kind of thing, it doesn't lend itself to lyrics. So if you're going to put lyrics in it, you need to find the pockets. And she didn't do that. And it's hard to do that as a singer. So I really didn't like WTP. It made me think this album's rubbish. although it wasn't rubbish because there were a few songs which we both did like. I mean, which ones...
I really liked Gonna Love Me, which was the second track on this project.
And I loved it as well.
I think Kanye did well on this to kind of match Teyana. Really lovely riffs and like lovely cadence. And I think it's my personal favourite because Teyana's really telling us that what you've seen from me, this is just the beginning. You're going to love me.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to appreciate where I'm coming from. You're going to love my energy. You're going to love my sound. She's really talented, and her vocals really come through
on
this.
She can dance, she can sing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, favourite track. What about you?
I really like... Rose in Harlem is really good, and I also really like Never Would Have Made It. I feel like those are the two best songs on the album. I think, as we spoke about, you know, there was a lot of compromise on Teyana's part, kind of trying to fit herself around Kanye's beats. I feel like in these two tracks, why they were the best tracks for me was because...
there was no compromise. She's speaking about things that are deeply personal to her and stuff that she can't really compromise on. Mm. I think A Rose Out of Harlem is A Rose in Harlem, sorry, is her story about how she's come from Harlem, which is not necessarily the nicest place to come from. And then she's kind of risen into what she is now. It's kind of like a success story kind of thing. This is where I've come from and I've made it. This is her story. And that's why she kind of shone through on that song. And then also the next song, Never Would Have Made It, which you said is about her daughter, Junie, mad cute baby.
Yeah. this is a lovely little 90s bop, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it worked really well. I wouldn't be surprised if Kanye co-produced this one. And that's probably why it worked better.
Yeah.
But the two of those tracks, I feel like they worked the best because although she compromised in kind of her sound, with these two, the content wasn't compromised at all. And because of that, it shone through that this is genuine. And when music is genuine, it always sounds better. And I feel like the rest of the tracks were just very sexual. Like, very, very sexual.
And not in a good
way. It's cringy. Like, I didn't like it.
Yeah. You know, I love R&B. I love slow jams, especially when they're sensual. You know, that's all me.
But they do it in such an implicit and subliminal way.
I love a bit of that. Mm. And it's tasteful, but raunchy. You know, it's a good balance.
Exactly.
On this... not so much.
There was no tact. There was no taste in it. It was just like, yeah, you're going to come home and beat it up. And yeah. That kind of like.
And I have to say, three-way, which
allow it. Why are you telling us about the threesome?
Exactly, which is as it sounds. It's ironic that this is the worst Ty Dolla $ign feature that's on all the albums. And that says a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
So,
it's definitely how I describe it. Mm.
In general, Tiana is really... like I said, she's a vocalist and she's really stuck in that 90s era. And it's even proved when you watch her show as well. Like, she's so much about the 90s, Lil Kim. Like, they booked her to do a Lil Kim tribute thingy like last year or so. And she loves Janet Jackson. So Janet Jackson. So she's really stuck in that era. And I feel like there isn't really a place for that sort of sound anymore.
Come and gone.
Yeah, so I feel like she just really needs to find something, not another way to hop on, but because she's really talented, but I feel like she needs to up her sound.
She needs to find her own sound. Yeah. That album was Kanye's sound and she's on it. Mm. Like, she needs to find her own sound, maybe work with her own producers, make her own kind of relationships in the music world and find people she really gels with. Because I really do feel like she has a good album in her and I feel like she's now in a space to put that out because it's the most received she has been since, the first I heard of her was... oh gosh, probably one of the features on Kanye's projects. I know when she was first signed to Good Music. I know she was featured on what's the Good Music project they released, Cruel Summer.
Yeah,
she was featured heavily on that. But
2012, I think.
I think by then I kind of already knew about who she was from beforehand.
Mm-hmm. And also, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. She was on intro. Can we get much higher? That
so that's her exactly. Mm-hmm. And that was 2010. Mm. So she has been around. But I feel like it's been 8 years and you don't have your own sound. And you had, this is basically a first album for her. I know it's her second album, but it felt like a first album, very much so.
Yeah.
Because I doubt many of the listeners will know, maybe they will know the first album, maybe they will like it, but I think it will be a small percentage of those who have heard it and digested it. So it wasn't a sophomore, I felt like it was more of a freshman album.
Yeah.
And on a freshman album, it really needs to be your own. Like, that's where you really don't have to compromise at all, because you have your whole life to make your first album. And then every album after that is going to be influenced by kind of your new surroundings and everything. But saying that, good effort. She tried. There were some tracks on there I quite liked, but quite cringy in places, quite disjointed in places, quite compromising in places. And where she shone through is when they were personal.
Yeah. And I think as the only woman on Good Music, I really hope she does push through and really find that sound so she can really take that helm and say, yes, I'm part of a movement, but this is me, and this is what I represent.
You know what? That's what upset me, because SZA is also the first woman of TDE,
yeah.
And she did a damn thing.
Yes.
No compromise. Like, it also helps that the founder or the head of her TDE is not going to be in the studio making her do certain tracks. I'm not saying I'm going to produce your whole thing. Mm. Kanye is very dominating and very imposing, so it did help. But still, she did the damn thing. Mm. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of what's the album called?
Control.
But I do recognize it's a great album. I feel like the album does speak to women more so, but I can still appreciate the album. Right, I am a big fan of Zed, her mixtape Zed. I think it's phenomenal, but she has her own sound kind of thing.
Yeah,
I need Tiana to kind of have her own sound and run with it. I mean, Control was Grammy nominated. I think she was the highest nominated female woman
Absolutely,
artist.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, yeah, go on, SZA. Like, you know, no cosigns, no handouts, nothing. Mm. And I feel like I need Teyana to do that. And I don't think Kanye will probably let her do that.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
But that's what I need from Teyana, I think, with her next project. Mm. And I think it needs to come soonish. I don't need her to wait two, 3 years.
She can't waste
time. She ain't got 2, 3 years of buzz left. Yeah. She needs to be on. Now she's got a TV show. She's got the Fade to Fit workout. Mm. This album's dropped. She needs to capitalize. Mm. And it's only 7 songs long. So you really should be able to put another album out relatively quickly.
Hopefully. She's very diversified. Like you said, she's doing the whole Fade to Fit thing. Mm-hmm. She dances. She's going to be booked for a lot more runways.
100%.
Yeah. So
100%.
I guess fair enough. She's got her foot in a couple doors.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. She just needs to make sure she makes the most of it and kind of shines through in it.
So that was Keep That Same Energy. Do you think Good Music have had a good month, Carl?
It could have been better and it could have been worse. I think the month started very strongly. The first 3 releases, I was like, all right, cool, go on, Good Music. Like, I don't think you could achieve it, but fair. And I think the last 2 releases it held it back a bit. I would have said they had a great month, but I'd probably say they had a good month. Good is a nice kind of average. Good Music, ironically, they had a good month. What about you? Do you think they had a good month?
I think they have. I think it's been really diverse in the sounds we've heard. Like, it's been a buffet of, like, just different music and...
Buffet.
Yeah.
Good way. The Good Music buffet.
I think it's actually the most output that we've got in such a short time from Good Music.
I think Big Sean should have probably replaced the Nas album if we had a Big Sean. Yeah. And I feel like Big Sean's probably one of the most corniest rappers. I know he's got bars. I know he's sick. Mm. I just find him corny, but I still would have preferred a Big Sean album instead of a Nas album. And we definitely still had to have Teyana because she's the first lady, but I just expected a better album. But that being said, they had a strong start, a very strong start. And I think for me personally, I know your favourites were the Kanye heavy ones, but my favourite was Pusha T's. So for me, it started off very strong and then gradually tailed off. Mm. Gradually.
Fair enough. I think it definitely peaked at Ye for me.
Mm. That's early peak. That's 2 or 5.
Yeah. But like you said, like it really, the tail end really was Nasir and Keep That Same Energy from Teyana. Okay, so those are our thoughts for Good Music's output for this month. What we're going to do right now is give each album a rating. So we've come up with a rating system that we're going to carry on henceforth. We're choosing to rate things from very good, like absolutely excellent, A+, all the way down to... What are we saying?
Should we say D?
A D.
If you get E and F,
yeah, E and F is a fail. No one's trying to hear that.
Exactly.
So let's go to a D. Yeah.
Yeah. So
on a scale from A+ to D, and the plus and minus scale ends at C. Let's start with Daytona.
Great.
What would you rate that, Carl?
I think my bias will shine through. Me being a Pusha fan, I don't think it's his best project, but it's up there, and so I'd give it an A- for me. I think it was perfect. His Short and Sweet was perfect. I think it was the only one which was the perfect amount because of the artist, because of his sound, because of what he was talking about. 7 for me was perfect. I'll give it an A-.
For me, I'm a Pusha fan. I'm not gonna lie, I've only been listening to him since about 2014, and I think this is a solid project from him. There's been better projects, but I definitely would give Daytona a B+.
Harsh.
Let's go on to Ye. What would you rate that, Carl?
I'd give it a B, actually. I was thinking B-, but I'd give it a B. B- is dangerously close to C, and I don't think it's a C-grade project. C-grade is very mediocre. With Ye, I think I like maximum maybe 3, pushing 4.
You know what? For me, it's a different vibe to Daytona. Daytona is straight grease, and I like that.
Yeah.
But... you know me, I like the personal
stuff. The gentler
stuff.
Yeah.
So, pushes it up a notch for me. So, I would give Ye an A-.
My heart. I was just going to say B-flat.
I was considering.
What? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's Kanye at his most intimate. Mm. And I really appreciate that. From someone who's so misunderstood in the media. And he's so extremely talented. And Ye is just like, it's something we never expected. I think I appreciate it.
That's fair. I can't really argue with that, to be fair. So we move on to the third album then, Kids See Ghosts. It'd be interesting to see whether you rated this highly or higher than Ye, or Ye higher.
I don't think I will, you know. I did enjoy it. It's experimental nature, I think, which makes it harder to rate, naturally. But I would give this a B minus.
Wow, you rated it lower than I would have.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you enjoyed it more than I did.
Am I even sure about that? No, that's firm, because two of the tracks, content-wise...
Too many throwaways.
Yeah.
I'd probably agree with you on that, to be fair. There were quite a few throwaways. On a seven-track long album, you can't really afford to throw away. I think seven tracks is meant to be stripped of throwaway tracks, kind of thing. But, yeah, like we said, it was very experimental. I did like the latter half of it a lot. But... for me, the fact that the first listen, I didn't get through the first song, I think that kind of set the tone for me. Although I later then kind of enjoyed it, I was like, oh, do you know what? This is cool, but will I come back to it in a year's time and be spinning it? Probably only the last track, to be honest. I think Cuddy's montage, that's probably the only track I'd go back to. And for that reason, I'd give it a B minus as well, actually. I was going to say B, but thinking about it, I'll give it a B minus. I think that's fair.
Yeah,
and so
from Kids See Ghosts onto
the rubbish ones. Not rubbish, we're not calling Nas rubbish, please. But onto the less well performed albums.
Nas, personally, I would give this a solid B.
Yeah,
because I do appreciate that Nas has had his day, right? But the fact that he can still give us something to work with, I can appreciate that. And there are a few tracks on here. I think it was Everything. There was another two tracks on here where he was just speaking to himself, and it's like, okay, yeah, you did good. Like, in the grand scheme of, you know, this month and good music, it doesn't fit in well, but I think he deserves a B.
Yeah, it's Nas, man. We're not giving Nas anything less than a C. It must be crazy. That bias, I'm going to gladly admit, there's bias. It's Nas. He deserves it. He deserves all the accolades. What would I rate the album? Being such a Nas fan, to be honest, it didn't really disappoint me, because, like I said, there's been a lot of Nas albums where the beats probably didn't match him well. And so this, again, wasn't a surprise. But I was expecting the beats to kind of match him a lot better than they did. And that's where the disappointment comes from. His ability to still convey a message. My ramen is a vitamin held within a capsule. His ability to still kind of convey a message. I feel he hasn't lost it. He's still as sharp as a tack. And I love it when the OGs still show that, listen, I can spit better than everybody here. Everybody in this room, I will spin. You know, even if he's 40 something years old. I love that. And the message also is very profound. That it's not lost on me. So I'd give it a B, to be fair. I don't think it's anywhere near A, because I wasn't necessarily happy with it. But for Nas being Nas and the ability to still convey a message and what the message was, I'd give it a nice B.
Yeah. Good. And keep that same energy.
Keep the same energy. Word super tired dollar sign. I don't want to be harsh. And I'm going to include her potential and what she's shown me, because she has shown me some positivity and some kind of like, all right, cool. And there was the only one of the five albums where there was a song in it I couldn't stand. The other ones, there were some I liked, some I didn't like. But this one had a song I can't stand. And for that reason, I'd probably give it, it's a great first attempt, and I'd probably give it a C+.
I would give it a C.
Okay.
I was even teetering towards C-.
Wow, that's almost a fail.
Because of WTP.
Yeah.
Because of that track. It's just...
It's the fact that it's unnecessary. Eighth track, like, it probably wasn't meant to be on there.
Yeah.
I don't think Kanye produced that either.
And I think the direction was just so unclear. With, like, she went from the deeply personal about her daughter to the free weight and
It was just not nice. Yeah, nice to hear.
So it's a C-, to be honest.
Yeah. We're going C or C-? Which one are we going for?
C-.
C minus.
I'm gonna go there.
Yeah, our lowest scorer, C minus. I feel a bit harsh, but I would be lying if I gave it any bit more than a C. I don't think I can put a Nas album in there, a Kanye album in there, and then put hers in there with the B. Well, they truly were, no bias, they truly were better than her album. With all their flaws, I feel like their albums were just a bit better. But Tiana's flowed well, had a nice vibe, but it just, it was too out of sync for me. So yeah, those are our ratings, I guess. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of people disagreeing with us. And
yeah, let us know, guys. Yeah, let us know.
Whatever you rate them, just let us know. If you feel like we're wrong, I feel like the Tiana one is going to be the one that everyone's like, no, it's better, it's this, that, and the other.
I feel
other.
Like people are going to jump on me a bit.
But let them jump, man. I don't think I care enough. Like, I'm convinced that it's not the greatest, but it's still a good effort. Great effort, anyway. Yeah, so I guess that was our first episode. So at the end of each of our shows, what we want to do is we want to leave you with a track of the week, which we've kind of shamelessly be wheeling. I mean, the title of our podcast is
Wheel It.
I mean, like, every time we say it, we have to say it with a like wheel it kind of. You can't just say wheel it. But a track we've been shamelessly wheeling for the past week or since we've last spoken to you guys. I think this week I'm going to take the mantle of kickstarting our on spin.
And just before we sign out and leave you with the track to play, you can follow me on Twitter at Lami Akindele.
And you can find me on Twitter also at Cozy_Carl. That's Cozy with a Z _Carl. So this week I'm going for a track called Win. It's by J-Rock. It's off his most recent album, Redemption, which he actually dropped just after he came out of a fatal motorcycle crash. So let's enjoy this triumphant one. I win.
Championship going dumb. Whoa, nothing to something. Whoa, I won, whoa. Bitch. Get out the way.